Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I was flipping through the channels the other day, but there was nothing good on, I had nothing to play. So I went to my computer and realized that there was so much content before my eyes. But there's nothing but Netflix in my heart and on my screen. There's always something good that I still haven't seen.
Nothing But Netflix is back once again, and we continue on what is looking to be the biggest year ever on Nothing But Netflix, because we've got a great episode today talking about the cooking show meets strategic voting game a la Big Brother, the pressure cooker. Now, here's a man who always cooks, especially when the pressure is on. It's Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
Rob, I'm good. The pressure's on. I'm happy to be here. This show, Rob, this is new. We like this, right?
I love this. I'm very excited to talk about episodes one and two. We'll just give you the vibes in the beginning, and then I'll talk a little bit more about what happens in the first couple episodes of Pressure Cooker. But I think that this was a lot of fun to watch. I think that our audience is really going to enjoy this. And I'm so excited to have back here with us to talk about some Netflix cooking. It was in the very early days of Nothing But Netflix that she joined us to talk about the great British baking show. Please welcome the great Haley Strong is here. Haley, how are you?
I'm great. I am so excited to be here. I'm so excited to talk about this show because I also, spoiler alert, loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. Chappelle, you loved it?
This was
It was
good.
Under for you. It was over.
No, this was right. It was perfect. It was perfect. You know, I was sitting around, you know, you and I had talked about doing the show, so I knew we were going to do it. And then you'd ask me if we wanted the guests. I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I woke up one morning. I was like, you know, I haven't talked to Haley Strong in such a long time.
Such a good
call. I just randomly tweeted, I miss Haley Strong. She
you didn't
responded.
Even like tag me. Like you don't tag people in these things. You just tweet it. And then it feels like, it's like an out of body experience, yeah. Like reading your name, like not tagged. You know what I mean? I was like, is that about me? And I'm like, how many Haley Strongs
did it work?
Truly?
Did it work, Haley?
It worked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I took like 12 hours.
Don't question his methods.
I don't. You know what? I don't. I just
not like, his first
I go
rodeo.
With Chappelle. Yeah, he does him, and I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I think that's like how we became friends originally, was like you tweeted something about me and I was just like, I want to be friends with you. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Chappelle, yeah, this is so genius what you do, because, you know, I have ignored so many tweets that I have been mentioned in. But then if I discover a tweet where I'm not mentioned, as I was talking about, like, wait, what is this? How dare you?
I don't do it on purpose. It's just
what I'm do you think? I'm not going to see this?
I mean, sometimes you don't, Rob. Listen, I got away with a bunch of them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, sometimes I'm just like tweeting about people that I know or that I like or whatever. And I'm like, I miss Haley. And it wasn't necessarily like, Haley, come talk to me right this second. I just needed the world to know that I miss Haley. Now, I'm happy that she did see it and responded, because through our back and forth, I said, Haley, why don't you just come on Nothing But Netflix? And here we are. So yeah, I think we got the perfect guest too. Because I mean, it wasn't like I reached out to Haley saying, we're doing a cooking show, we need Haley. Haley's a cooking show expert and she knows these strategy games. So it just happened to work out.
Yeah.
This show really feels like they went into their little meeting room and was like, what would Haley Strong specifically enjoy? And they made the show for me. Where oftentimes I feel like
they hacked your producers. Algorithm.
Yeah. They like, I feel like the Bachelor producers go and sit in a room and was like, what would Haley Strong hate?
Yes.
And let's do that. We're like, Netflix is doing the opposite.
They hacked the algorithm.
No, not the algorithm.
Yeah, but this show is, I can't believe that it took till 2023 to have this show, because I mean, to my knowledge, and you know, Haley was talking about this pre-show about how, you know, I've not always been the biggest fan of cooking shows, even though I do consider myself to be an amateur cook. That I kind of feel like, well, I don't know. Is there a lot of drama here? But Haley, have we ever had shows like this before that combine a cooking show with also the like voting off that we would see on a, you know, Big Brother or Survivor?
I don't think so. This feels like a unique concept, and you're right. It does feel like, wait, how is it taken 25 years of reality
to pair these tastes, two great tastes.
Yeah. So I was really excited when I saw the previews or like the trailers come up on my like Twitter feed. I was like, yeah, this is like exactly up my alley. I work a job that's a little more quiet now, so I have like TV on like all the time. And this whole week, I've just been doing like Netflix like strategy shows. Like I've caught up on The Circle the last two seasons. I watched The Mole, and so like I was really excited to get
into
this.
Don't spoil The Circle for Chappelle. He's gonna binge it all soon.
I'm on the edge of my seat, waiting on the results of The Circle. I promise you.
I'm getting a little over The Circle, I will say that.
Really?
Haley, Haley, here on Nothing But Netflix, we don't allow that. We'll talk after.
Yeah.
But to be able to like go from those shows that I have been enjoying, I really did enjoy The Mole too. I thought it was interesting. Moving into The Pressure Cooker, and I was a little worried it was going to feel like too Top Chef-y or like too over the top of like, let's vote each other out. But I think it's been super interesting because the cast is really taking so many different perspectives of how the show is supposed to work. And because there's no blueprint of the show before, they are really making it their own, which is really fun. And I think Netflix reality and game shows do something cool, which is that they don't follow the same format every single week. Like, you know, you guys watched two episodes. I watched a couple more. The judges every week are different. Like who's rating each dish is different. Like the challenges are different. It's really cool. I love the show, and I'm so excited to keep watching it.
Yeah. Okay. Chappelle, could we get you to weigh in here on the Cronut, which is this cooking show combined with voting people out?
Yeah. So I think Netflix has figured something out that a lot of like networks have moved away from. And it's the competition reality show with the voting style, right? Because now Netflix is bringing Survivor to, you know, to Netflix. You know, it had never been done before. You can watch the Survivor season on Netflix. People are watching those. People are watching The Circle. We're watching these different social strategy shows on Netflix that, I mean, like we like, but it seemed like for a while we're moving away from these kind of things. And so maybe with that resurgence, you know, you kind of come to a show like this where he's like, okay, well, we know the cooking shows watch. Like Bake Off does great every year. Top Chef's been on a million years. Hell's Kitchen's been on a million years. Like the cooking shows are fine. There will always be okay. But to find something that says, okay, let's go back and find those Big Brother fans and drag them into this. That was a perfect opportunity. And I think Netflix capitalized on it perfectly. Because this show is very interesting. Well, like Haley said, it's not too Top Chef-y, but it's not too Big Brother either.
Chappelle, that's interesting that you bring that up, because I feel like that now, should we be looking back at, like, we thought like, oh, this is weird. Like Big Brother 10 is on Netflix. Big Brother 14 is on Netflix. Was this sort of like the bait of like, hey, Big Brother fans, like check out what's going on Netflix. And then you drop a show like The Pressure Cooker on them.
Yeah, the mole as well. You know, yeah. Like the mole's been gone for 50,000 years, and now all of a sudden it comes back and it's new and sexy mole, you know? And so this all happens around the same time. Also, there's no host of this show. So I was thinking maybe they're trying to figure out stuff to do during COVID, you know, where you can't bring too many people on set, you know? So I was like, this works. It's self-contained. It's like if the Survivor contestants were judging themselves, if there was no Jeff Probst, if, you know, if there was no Julie Chen, and you just read like the week's instructions off a little sheet of paper. So it works out.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy that the printer is like a less sexy version of Lana.
Yes. Yeah. And not the cook, not the chef, you know, Lana the
right, not the chef, not the chef, please. No, it's interesting that Haley, Netflix, they love a disembodied host for their reality shows.
It didn't even occur to me until you guys said it that there was no actual physical host. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't even cross my mind. I didn't miss it.
Yeah. So this was so good. I'm tempted to say that maybe we should do I don't know what we have lined up for next week, but I'm wondering if this is like historical precedent of should we come back next week and finish the show?
I would love to. I don't know. I mean, if Haley would come back and join,
Haley is booked.
I am booked. I'm going to Montreal next week.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Okay.
But look, Haley, I'm traveling next weekend too, so maybe we can work something out.
Maybe we can figure it out.
I
don't know how good the Wi-Fi on the Via Rail system is. Yeah. I think Canada has the same issue as the United States, where there's rail.
Let's just put that out there as like a carrot for the audience. If people like hearing us talk about the pressure cooker enough and maybe begin their own journey, maybe we figure something out to come back and finish talking about the pressure cooker, because I would love to see how this all plays out. It feels like, Chappelle, that the idea of the pressure cooker, they brought these people in and it seems like they all thought they were competing on like a traditional cooking show. And then it seems like a swerve for them in the first episode, like halfway through, they find out, oh, I think we have to vote somebody out.
Yeah, and it's very clear. I don't know how much they knew, because it seems like some people are kind of like trying to figure that out, and other people are Big Brother fans, and they're like, oh, I'm right. This is right up my alley. People like Gina, they come in with a plan, you know, or even Renee to an extent. They kind of sound like, yes, this is a cooking show, but I think some people even say you don't have to be the best. Like the chef, the head chef is not normally always the best chef. It's the person who can manage the kitchen, or the person who can move through the politics of the kitchen and the cooking industry the best. And so it's like, you don't have to be the strongest player all the time. You just got to get out the people who are better than you.
Haley, can you speak to this at all in terms of like, you know, working in the restaurant industry and following the, you know, various cooking shows? How much is that true? Is that is cooking a meritocracy?
I wouldn't say it depends, because different chefs run their kitchens in different ways. Now, somebody being like a dictator in a kitchen is not something I respond well to, because I am somebody who likes balance. I like calmness in life and in a kitchen. I would love a person like Lana leading the kitchen, because she was so calm and cool and collected. She was really able to take other people's ideas in. She was able to ask for help when she needed it. And she wasn't like an I know everything all the time. So that is somebody I responded really well to. Now, is she going to be like the most dynamic character for this competition show? Maybe not. Maybe it is going to be somebody like Michael, who's like the young gun coming in, and he Big wants Mike. To prove he has all of this knowledge. And he, you know, he's like, no, you have to use a cake tester to test your meat. Like, you have to do that. And Gina's like, okay, man, like, you let me do my thing with the other thing, so I'm going to just let you have this one. And if the elk is bad, it's on you.
Yeah. Chappelle, I'm really curious.
Oh, wait, that might be later in the season. Okay. Sorry, everyone. Oh, sorry. My bad.
Chappelle, I'm really curious to know what they told these people before they came in, because, you know, we have in the first episode, everybody, and we'll go into it in more detail. In the first episode, that everybody, you know, makes a dish and it gets rated, and we have three people that are at the bottom. And it seems like a lot of people felt like, oh, well, the bottom three, they are going to have like some sort of like a cook-off. They're going to basically go into some sort of like a elimination, and then something will be decided. And it like really is like seemingly like the first blind side of the season that the players are going to actually vote for who they like or maybe who they think are the bigger threats.
Yeah. And I think that happens when you find out that there's no host, right? Because in something like Hell's Kitchen, Gordon Ramsay makes the decision. You can say whatever you want. You can put whoever you want in the bottom two. He can change the bottom two. He's like, nope, I don't want that person to go home. You go home. You know? And so he's been doing that forever. So if you watch that kind of show, that's probably what you're thinking. Or if it's like a Top Chef, you know, you do these challenges. It comes down to the final two. They might have to do a cook-off or something like that, prepare their best dish. Master Chef. A lot of times they have to throw a dish up to get judged by the judges. There are no judges. There's no host. So yeah, it's left on them. And I don't think they were ready.
Okay.
Yeah. And like, I would say this particular challenge wasn't a super unique challenge in the cooking show sphere, which is make your best dish. We want to see what you cook. Like, we want to see your style. And I would say even like, the other people eating the dish will often, you know, say who's the lowest, like who are their least favorites, but we never see the cast pick who's going home, who's voting off. And I think this vote off was so interesting because we really saw an emergence of like, of gameplay and, you know, are we voting off who actually had the least, like, least good dish? Are we voting off who has the least potential in this competition? Are we voting off the person who has the most potential in this competition just to get them out early while they, like, fumbled?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the stage is set. That's the appetizer. If you didn't see the show, we highly recommend it. We're going to get into a lot more detail about the first two episodes. So let's take a break. And when we come back, let's get into talking about what happens here in the first episode of The Pressure Cooker.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. I really felt like the first like 20, 25 minutes of this show did seem like very formulaic, Haley, that this did not seem like anything out of the ordinary. Everybody is going to make their dishes and we just get to meet some of the personalities that are there. How often will a cooking show start with just a format like this?
I would say if it's a competition cooking show, like, you know, not like a Chopped or like a one episode, you know, inclusive, like we are always getting this and that's fine. We want to know who's here. We want to like develop favorites. We want to learn what it is that they do, what kind of cook they are. Because we got a lot of like private chefs here, which is not often rated highly in like a cooking competition. You know, we have people from like culinary school backgrounds. We have people who have learned in the kitchen. Like, I'm happy. It is formulaic, but I think it's formulaic because it's a necessary aspect of the show.
Chappelle, did you feel like that you could tell like who the standouts were going to be based on the dishes that were being made?
I mean, based on the dishes, maybe, but based on the personalities, of course. You know, like we've been doing this for a long time. You can always find new. Like, you know, who your like villains are, who your strategists are, and who the like heroes are a lot of times. And I mean, we don't have to jump right to this guy, but we got to talk about Big Mike.
Big Mike.
Haley, remember Marcel from like season 2 of Top Chef?
You yes, that is like, the vibe.
Are you getting the vibe? The vibe? Okay, cool. I'll make sure I'm not tripping. He's like, I'm classically trained and I know everything, you know, and that's fine. But that's also grating. But that's also a great television character. So I knew we were going to get a lot more of Mike moving forward unless they got rid of him very early. Because what we talked about was, you know, different strategies for playing the game. But in voting shows, you could just vote somebody off because you don't like them. And it doesn't have to do anything with strategy. They could cook as well as they want to. They could cook as bad as they want to. But if you don't like somebody, you're not going to give them $1 million. Or I'm sorry, that's Survivor. But if you don't like somebody, you're not going to let them through to the next round a lot of times. And so I was thinking, this might be bad for Mike, but while we have him, he's going to be good TV.
Well, how about Big Mike, where he, you know, makes his mushroom ravioli and then says, you know, and I'm just going to like basically like show off that I'm done. So I'm just going to start like sweeping the kitchen just to like put a little bit of like fear into the people that are still going that I finished so quickly.
Mm-hmm. I hate when they do that. Mm-hmm. I hate when like contestants do that because I always feel like there's something you could be doing to better your dish. And I love when there's the instant karma, and I don't think it happened here, of like, oh, well, you messed up this part and this part was bad and you didn't fix it, even though you had a lot of time. It didn't seem to happen here, but I do love when that instant karma happens.
Yeah. So they invited then all of the chefs to like everybody made their dish and then everybody like sit and try it. And Haley, to me, I felt like that this seemed a little bit unusual in that the other contestants were seemingly judging the thing, as opposed to most cooking shows have, you know, your Gordon Ramsay, your judges who are tasting the things. And it's not often the other contestants giving feedback.
It's not often, but it does happen on occasion. And it's always interesting when it does happen, because it's like, are people going to be overly critical so they sewer other people? Or are they going to be fair so that other people fairly judge them? Are they going to keep their card? Like, are they not really going to give their full opinions on things so that they can keep their cards close to their vest about what they're going to do with a strategic element of it?
And some people did give their full opinions, Chappelle.
They sure did. Yeah, some people love their own opinion.
No, that's so cool, though. Because, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm just going to be kind of middle of the road on everybody, because you don't want anybody to kind of tank you, right? You know, at the end of the day, they're voting. So it's like, I don't want people to think like, Chappelle must not like me because he said horrible things about my food. And I know my food is good, so it must be me that he hates. But, you know, some people went to the Culinary Institute of America and it's the Hogwarts of cooking, and they feel like they have to say these things because they are correct. And maybe they're not always correct, or maybe people don't like the same things you like, and you don't want to like tank people and then they want to go after you. And then, of course, it's a popularity contest as well. So you start to make people mad. Maybe they band together against you. So I thought it was very interesting that a lot of people kind of took the like, I won't say compliment sandwich, but it was kind of like, you can work on this thing, but for the most part, this was fine, or this is really good, but this one thing is fine. Now, a couple people showed up with raw food. Well, one person at least did, and that person was like the glaring exception to all
right.
of this.
And Big Mike had a lot to say about everybody's stuff. But yeah, so everybody, we get to Liv's, which I believe this was Ara's Conpollo.
Yeah, rice and chicken.
Yes. And unfortunately, we cut into it and people said it was 2 seconds away from being alive. We heard that there was a lot of redness there. And this was a big no-no, especially for Ed. Ed seemed the most offended by this.
I feel like he has a point, though. And I thought it was interesting that Liv was like, well, it's on the bone. It will have a tendency to be more pink. And I think that is true in the case of like, when you're doing like a grilling or a smoking of it, like it does tend to have like more of a pink look just because of the way you're cooking it. But I would be very suspicious of like raw chickens, especially on the first day of a cooking competition.
Yeah.
Like, I am not looking to get food poisoning on day one of this.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, you think, I have to beat this person in the end. Maybe I keep them around because they can't cook chicken to completion. But at the same time, it's like, but if I have to keep eating this, I don't want to die.
Yeah. This is danger.
Yeah. Chappelle, Ed said, okay, this, look, you go to a restaurant, you get raw chicken, you make a big fuss, and you get free dessert. That's just how it works. He didn't make the rules.
If somebody gives you raw chicken, you now cannot eat another protein from them because they've already tried to kill you, right? Mm-hmm. So you can get a dessert and go. Personally, if somebody gives me raw food, I'm just going to go. You know, like, you know, I would like my money back and I'm going to leave, because you never know what else is going on in that kitchen at that point. They had a swing, they missed, it's fine. But yeah, if you can get a free dessert on the way out, I'm sure that's fine. I think one of the reasons Ed felt so strongly about this as well is because he basically made the same dish. I mean, he made chicken and polenta. So I was like, he cooked this chicken well. you had chicken. You had time for chicken. Why didn't your chicken come out well? So, you know, I think when you're identifying who the weakest link here is, you can say, oh, it's kind of red because it's off the bone. But it's very obvious that this chicken was raw, yeah. Ramsay would say.
Ed said, there's no chicken sushi for a reason.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. So, and then everybody had to go, like, put in their ratings and, like, okay. And then we got the bottom three, which was Brian, who had the squid ink pasta, Gina, who had a salmon Wellington. I had never heard of a salmon Wellington.
I feel like I definitely have heard of a salmon Wellington. I've never had it myself. I also think, I also wonder how much experience some of these people had in actually watching reality cooking competitions, because like if I was in one, I'm never making a Wellington because I don't know that I can consistently make that in a time crunch when you're in a literal, excuse the joke, pressure cooker.
Yeah. Gina, I don't know how many cooking shows she's watched, but I bet she's seen every single season of Big Brother.
Right?
She knows what she's doing here. She came here like, she's like, I'm a survivor person and I can cook as well.
And yes. I learned how to cook, so I could like
let
have a
Gina
niche
cook.
Show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Rob, did you like the ranking strategy? Because it's not like they came in and gave them a point system. They said, okay, each of you privately throughout the day, right? So after they finish cooking, once the plates are down, they say, okay, we've tried out everybody's food. Now, as we clean up, just place your vote whenever you want. This isn't a voting confession. Like, we're not doing Julie Chen pulling in people one by one. Mm-hmm. Jeff Probst isn't reading tallies. You literally just kind of walk over to the screen and just type in your votes and rank these people in order.
Well, I think that's one of the really interesting things about the show. It's like, it's seemingly also you can vote whenever you feel like it. Also, it's just vote by the end of the day. I guess it's like election day. It's like, yeah, you could go first thing in the morning or you could be there when the polls are closing. But just as long as you vote by the end of the day, that's all that counts.
Yeah, I feel like I would want to go right away. So that it's just like off my plate because I'm very easily convincible. So whatever I hear last is probably what I'm voting for. So I really want to go like based off of like what I actually feel and not necessarily what other people, Gina, around me are like telling me.
Yeah.
I think I would be more like in my mind if I felt strongly, I would go vote very early or something like that. If I had like any trepidation, I would probably wait and kind of hear everybody out. Or if I was trying to think of like a strategic element, but I think my best strategy would be vote really, really fast. So nobody can like come in like, and politic to you. Like, oh my God, I already voted. If you had told me that, I would have gone with you. That way your hands are kind of clean. But yeah, this was fun to watch.
Yeah. So that bottom three, Brian, Gina and Liv, of course, with the undercooked chicken. And so then they get the message like, oh, by the way, you chefs, you'll vote to send somebody home. And it's not even a vote, who do you want to save? It's a vote, who do you want to evict?
Mm-hmm. And there's no host to read off these votes. So they get another little ticket. Now, we've talked about this. The three of us have talked about Survivor Mail before, like Tree Mail. Mm-hmm. We talked about Tyra Mail. And now we have these little tickets. And so now we get this little ticket and it tells you who all the votes are for. This is crazy.
I love it.
I love it. I gotta say, I love it. It's like so dumb, but it's like, yep, that's so fitting in a restaurant. I do still hear that in my sleep and I panic. But it is so funny to me that they're just like, you know what? Ticket thing. And they're like, yes, absolutely. And now that's the host of the show.
Because I don't know if they put this in post-production, the ticket machine is so loud and obnoxious and like the dot matrix printer that's coming up, and then they're like, oh my God, what does it say? So, and then somebody has to go up and read it also, and they don't know what it's going to say. It's incredible.
Yeah, and the awkward silence where people are doing the math trying to figure out who goes home, because it's like Brian got 3 votes, Liv got 4 votes, Gina got 1 vote, so Liv is going, right? There's no more votes, right? I love it. I love it because you have to sit there and figure that out. The first episode, Liv, she takes it like a champ. You know, they say Liv's going home. She's kind of shocked. Everybody gets up and hugs her and goes. In the second episode, I was like, are you ever leaving, ma'am? Are you going to leave? Or are you just going to sit here and try to figure out who voted you out? This is crazy.
I thought so too. And I was like, oh, I guess they're like doing one of those things where they did in Big Brother a couple seasons ago where you were voted out but you still lived in the house. I was like, oh, okay, I'm fine with that. But yeah. Then, no, it was just like a weird after party.
I guess they don't make you pack, Haley, of that you, because they don't really get into like the living situation. Mm-hmm. So are they living in the same place where they're mm-hmm. cooking?
Yeah, it feels very much like they rented a soundstage and put a couple bunk beds there and like a like an industrial kitchen. And they're like, enjoy your time here.
Yeah. I don't
know.
Isn't
that Hell's Kitchen, basically? Isn't that what they did? They basically
Watch Hell's Kitchen, so I'm not totally sure. But it does, like, I'm also like, is there a living room? Like, is there somewhere where they can just, like, watch TV for 20 minutes?
I don't know. What? And again, and maybe this speaks to, like, sort of, like, the COVID bubble of it all. And or I guess, you know, the show's title, like, is a very clever pun. It's a pressure cooker. Like, are these people just, like, put into this like one small area where they're going to cook and live?
All I know is in a normal reality show, when you are voted out, they tell you to leave immediately.
Get in the mall, you couldn't even say goodbye. It was like you literally have to get up from the table and mm-hmm. GTFO.
Mm-hmm. Pack your knives and go. We've heard it all the time. You get up and leave. And on Survivor, they get kind of sexy and say things on the way out now. It's getting a little fancy.
Yeah.
On Big Brother, sometimes you get a Kylan moment. But Kristen here was just like, no, who voted for me? And one by one, come talk to me about why you voted me out. And I'm thinking, is there going to be a jury vote in the end or something? Because she's like, I need to know this before I go because there's some shenanigans going on.
Yeah. In Big Brother, Julie is like, all right, the person voted out will have 1 minute to gather up their belongings and exit mm-hmm. out the door. But yeah, this show, you could linger.
Yeah.
and I think that is maybe part of the COVID bubble or maybe the bubble of the show where it doesn't. I don't think that the people who are voted out are going too far, especially like in the second episode, we saw that Liv came back and judged the second challenge. And like, I was kind of expecting the voted out people to continue like mm-hmm. growing and becoming the judges. And that's not quite what happened. And that's fine. But I did think it was like really interesting.
Yeah. I was curious to know about that. But really interested to see what they do. All right, well, so Liv ultimately is, we find out that Liv had an alliance with Gina, and you would think, and Gina, you know, is really playing the strategic game. Chappelle, I would have thought that if Liv and Gina are working together, had an alliance, shouldn't they be able to like whip up some more votes against Brian?
It's raw chicken. You know, there's only so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, like, listen, and it's week one too. So, you know, like think about it in Survivor terms, you know, that first season, they don't really know what an alliance is. They don't want to say the word alliance. Gina, of course, does know what an alliance is and is ready to say the word alliance, but everybody else is not in. So she's still mm-hmm. trying to get buy-in for that strategy because for a bunch of people who consider themselves really good chefs, it's kind of disrespectful for them to be like, yeah, you and your raw chicken can stay. I'm sorry. You know, in the week one. Now, once you get down to the nitty gritty, you know, I think some of that integrity goes out the window. But yeah, I think for these professionals, it's just something they couldn't let slide.
Yeah. Another person we haven't talked about yet is Sergey. And Sergey is another person who is also like he is, you know, a kind of a big personality, can rub some people the wrong way in the kitchen. But also, I think similar to Gina, is also playing a strategic game. He is the one vote to evict Gina in the first episode. Haley, how did you feel about Sergey?
Would I want to hang out with this dude? Probably not. But do I really enjoy him on the show? Yes, yes, I do.
Yes.
He's crazy. I love him because it's like you have the person who is very obviously like, I want to be in charge so bad. But you have him surrounded by a bunch of people who are always in charge of things. And he can't help himself. If you're cooking, he's like, what are you cooking over there? Can you mind your own business, sir? No, I actually cannot. Can you tell me what you're cooking and why? And he's just like, Sergey, you're not in charge. You're not the boss. But he can't help it. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe in his world, he's used to being the head chef. He's used to taking charge. And that can be helpful in a team challenge or something like that. These people still have to vote for you. They have to like you in order for you to win the game. They have to like you to some extent. And so I don't think it's going to play well for him in the long term, because the first episode, people like Renee really respected his cooking. They were like, oh, yeah, I liked his meal. I understood where he was coming from. I kind of like his personality. But then when she picks him on his team, she's like, oh, no, I made a mistake. I made a grave error and this is not OK.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Sergey's one vote for Gina ends up looming pretty large because the votes end up with 4 votes to kick out Liv and 3 votes to kick out Brian. Could have potentially sent it to a 4-4 tie. I do not know how that would have been determined other than maybe if Renee would have had to cast the deciding vote.
Quick fire making challenge, you know?
Yeah. Fire. Haley, what's the equivalent of the fire making?
I would say just like a classic cook-off, like here's make this, just make a grilled cheese, make an omelet, and the best mm-hmm. one stays. Mm-hmm. Mm.
I love those challenges in the past, you know, like the make an omelet challenges are always fun because it seems so simple, right? And then you get people who throw so much into it and it's like, this isn't even an omelet anymore. And those people normally leave. And it's like a plain omelet would probably get you far. So I think something like that probably is what they have in the case of a tie. And maybe it comes up later on in the season. I just never got past episode 2.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, okay, end of episode 1, we got the elimination. But no, there's like more twists keep coming in the first episode. Because then, all right, we're going to get, oh, it's another ticket. All right, here's with the official rankings of how everybody did. And we find out that Renee, who had the scallops, was actually number 1 with Lana number 2. And now there is a red apron and there's a yellow apron. And now we're going to draft a team. So really, we're taking so many different aspects of these different shows. Like basically like we're going to bring in like almost like a, you know, either Survivor Tribes or even like a Tough as Nails situation where we're going to bring in, have a draft for who's going to be on the teams. And I agreed with Ed. I thought that Renee, it looked like to me that Renee had a much better team.
I thought so too, but like, that's very, it's very classic in some cooking shows where it's like, literally too many cooks in the kitchen where it's like a lot of people on the surface who are very good but might not fit in a team better, where Lana was able to like lead her group and understand each person's strengths and weaknesses and like get them to do what they needed to do, and it was just more cohesive. And like, if you have a lot of big personalities in a team and the challenge is to make a cohesive meal, that's going to be an issue right off the hop, because like everybody's going to want their voice heard, and you can taste that in the food that like there was an argument. Mm-hmm. Like, it sounds really dumb to be like, you can taste it in the food, but you can get the stress off of the food.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I kind of thought that Lana had the better team from jump.
Oh.
Just based on the personalities. Like, Haley's talking about cohesiveness, but she picked Robbie, who seems like the sweetest person who ever existed, right? That no one has anything negative to say about Robbie. That's a great pick. Gina, she says she really wants to pick her because she feels she's going to be hungry to prove herself because she was just in the bottom. So you get somebody who's not coming in trying to take charge because they've been a little humbled. Caroline, who hasn't really said anything. You know, she's just been kind of chilling. And then she gets stuck with Mike. And it's like Mike being last kind of humbled him in a way because he was so salty. Like, he got the bitter dish and he was bitter as hell. Yeah, yeah. She wanted him. She knew to say that to him. That's why I was like, she's doing really well. Whereas Renee had Sergey, who wants to be in charge, right? Mm-hmm. Also had Ed, who probably wants to be in charge. Brian, who almost went home. And like, I guess you could say the same thing about Gina, but Brian was one vote away from going home. And then you have like Kristen, who seemed like she was pretty like inoffensive. So for me, I just thought from jump, personality wise, she did a better job of picking her teams. But yeah, I don't think anybody saw it going the direction that it was going.
Well, a couple of interesting things about what Lana did. She picked Gina number 1, where Renee picked Sergey, who I think was the highest ranked. Sergey was kind of middle of the pack. He was middle of the pack. Yeah, it's Ed, Mike, Sergey. But he was a pretty highly ranked person, where Gina, who was in the bottom, but also was somebody who was, you know, very much playing like the alliance game early on. And so I thought that that was sort of like an interesting pick to go with her as the number 1 pick. But maybe that was a matter of Gina really like already warming up to Lana. But what she does with Mike is so interesting, because she really very quickly like pulls Mike aside and says like, hey, you know, you're really good at, you know, but you need to, you know, check your ego at the door.
Yeah, and she didn't do it in a way that I felt was like demeaning. I feel like I've said this many times so far, but I love Lana as a leader. Like, that is the type of person who I want to be leading a team I am on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was the way she said, I think she said something to the effect of, she brought them all together and said, I have been put in a leadership position. I hope y'all defer to that. You know, it's like, that's her like smooth way of saying, I'm in charge. It happened. You got to listen to me. And it didn't sound super demanding, but she made her presence known. I really liked it.
Yeah. So that's what we're set up with our two teams going into the second episode. And we're going to have our team challenge to do a 5-course meal that engages all of the senses. Now, I was a little bit thrown for a loop here. I didn't know, not the five senses, five tastes. I was thrown off by, I didn't know umami was a taste.
So it's definitely more of a recent addition to flavor profiles. I would say within the last 10 years, I know back in the day, Umami Burger mm-hmm. was a huge restaurant
yes,
in LA.
Yes, yes.
And they really focused on that. It's like a deep savory flavor. Like, it's not salty, but it's like earthy. It's like mushrooms, and it's kind of like what hits you in the back of the mouth, and but not in like a bitter way. It's like a very almost like balanced flavor that takes a little bit from the salt, sweet, bitter, and sour.
Yeah. So that threw me for a loop. So I didn't know about that. We had our team names. Do we have official team names?
Yes. Renee's team, the yellow team, was Team Sunshine, and the red team, Lana's team, was Team Diablo.
I knew Diablos. Yeah, I didn't know they were officially Team Sunshine. Our red team and our yellow team, and basically they have to go to work, and everybody has to like work on a dish here. It was interesting to see the two different approaches. We're going to find out that the Diablos team, Lana's team, is going to have more of a like unified approach to like what they're putting out there, as opposed to much like the team that Renee puts together, just basically an all-star team that doesn't quite go together.
Mm-hmm. It was fun because, again, we talked about these all-stars and we talk about Sergey as a personality, but there are some really good moments in this kitchen. I mean, when Renee and Sergey kind of face off, because I think, Haley, correct me if I'm wrong, he wants to do something, and he's like, are you sure you want to do it cold? And she's like, yeah, I am. He's like, are you sure, chef? And she's like, yes, I am. And then they kind of just stare at each other for maybe like a beat too long, and she goes, boo, get to it. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, boo, wow. Let's go.
Let's go.
But I love it. Okay. Like, if you know, honestly, if she's the leader, then she's the leader and she makes those decisions, and I'm going to defer to her. But if it doesn't work out, I'm not taking blame. But it's tough. It's tough because the whole thing was like a blind tasting. So if my dish is the worst, like, whatever. But in the, you know, it's tough. But in voting, I'm saying that was not my idea. Please keep that in mind.
Yeah. Well, this question of the leadership is like a really big deal of what's going on at the yellow team. For the most part in this episode, it looks like that the red team has like pretty smooth sailing in terms of what's going on with their group.
It was so fun to watch. It really was. Like I said, we can't say enough good things about Lana, but I mean, she had everybody in line. Everybody was doing their part. It wasn't a lot of stepping on each other's toes. But that yellow team, I mean, like I said, it was just a perfect mix of personalities. And then Brian's panna cotta happened. And I went, I was like, yeah, this is the show. I have to watch the rest of this because this is crazy.
Okay.
I don't know what they would have done to like make it different. But again, panna cotta is not something you should be doing on a reality cooking show, because it 90% of the time does not set. You just don't have the time. A lot of the times in those kitchens, there's like industrial size lights and everything that just brings up the temperature of everything just a little bit more than you would in your normal kitchen. And so things won't set.
Haley, that for a, you know, noob like me, could you just talk about, I had no idea what panna cotta even is or what it's supposed to look like.
So it's not supposed to splat. Like, it is supposed
it's not supposed to be slime.
No, it's supposed to hold.
It's not a gravy.
No, when they were trying to be like panic agar, I was like, no, I'm not eating that. It's supposed to hold its shape. Like if you took a Jello cup and flipped it upside down and like left it on your plate, it holds its shape. That's what a panna cotta is supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's like a creamy, it's like the combination of a creme brulee with Jello. It's like the creaminess of a creme brulee, but the texture of Jello.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Brian doesn't really get the texture part down, which is funny because it happens. It looks bad. And of course, Renee, who is pretty confident in her team's ability, is looking around and saying, oh, God, look at Brian. He's our weak link. Here it comes. He's going to hold us back. And then the judging happens. And I mean, I was grinning from ear to ear because this is the type of drama you want in a show where everybody's like, let's vote this guy out because he sucks. And then the judge is like, I really liked it. Didn't you like it?
Yeah. Well, it was absurd that she was like, yeah, sure. It didn't hold its like, it didn't look like a panna cotta, but it tasted really good. And it's like, are you bananas? Like, the fact that they brought Liv in to judge as the person who was just voted out, I was like, I think I gasped. I was so excited.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the twist. Liv is coming back in to do the blind taste test. Now, I kind of didn't like that they let Liv in while everybody else was still there. I wasn't sure if anybody was going to like try to signal to her if like Liv had any friends that were there, like trying to signal. But it was very brief. Liv sits down. Chappelle, Liv did not really have that much nice things to say about everything. Is Liv a hater?
Oh yeah. And listen, maybe that is her own personal taste, whatever. I am not a trained chef like she is, mm-hmm. but there was so like
how's
so
your
much
chicken,
hater
though, Chappelle?
Energy. So look, it ain't raw, but so much hater energy coming from her, and I loved every second of it. I mean, it was just kind of like, if I can find something wrong, I'm going to say it. And you don't see a lot of that in other cooking shows because I think they try to, like, for the edit, they try to make it seem like this person is clearly above this person. But Liv had something negative to say about
everything.
I mean, anything you gave her, she's like,
except the panna cotta.
Yeah, except the one thing that you could have been like, this is bad. She's like, actually, I like this, but all this other stuff could have been a little bit better. It's just not up to my liking. If it was a little bit more of this, it would have been perfect for me. Liv is the perfect judge. You got to bring in a hater for this.
Yeah, she was perfect because she's a hater for two reasons. She got voted out first, mm-hmm. and she's 25 and trying to prove herself. She's basically like her and Michael are the same. Like they mm-hmm. are both trying so hard to prove themselves. And she's like picking up on things just to say them to be like, see, I do know about food, even though I was mm-hmm. voted off first. I am a mm-hmm. chef. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm 25, but I too can critique people's stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And honestly, they really got to be harsh on her critique. You know, they got to vote her out. They got the last word on Liv, so now she gets the last word on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so she went through all 10 of the dishes. Like, I feel like that there was the only things that she did not seem to have an issue with. I think the lamb didn't seem to mind, and the noodles that Ed did. She kind of like that.
Other than that, hater raid all the way up and down. And like I said, I loved it. Because also, I like the fact that she didn't know whose food it was. So she was an equal opportunity hater.
Yeah, she was an equal opportunity hater. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And again, we're all waiting for the panna cotta. And she's like, yeah, this is good. I like this. It's good. It's different.
Yeah. And like, I wonder if that was kind of strategic on her part to be like, I know this is bad. I'm rating it high. I don't care.
That's
interesting.
You know
what I mean?
Let me give them immunity.
Yeah. Haley, I was wondering if maybe it could be like, maybe is that like maybe her inexperience of like, maybe does she not know like that this isn't a thing?
I feel like, If you've seen a panna cotta before, you know it's not supposed to look like cottage cheese. Like, it's just not.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like she was being strategic and bitter and knowing that that wasn't good and mm-hmm. being like, I'm going to have an impact on the game.
Mm-hmm.
Which we love, right?
Yeah.
I thought this was incredible. Like I said, it was a perfect storm. Because you brought in a big hater. You had Brian, who should have obviously been getting trashed here. And then, like, the complete opposite happens. And you have a person who was ready to eliminate Brian, who was so ready. And it's like this person just handed them a new lease on life. It was amazing.
Okay, so she gives in her recommendations, and then they don't even tell the people. They just sort of like, they walk in and they just find like a book on the table, and like things have been like a little like messed up of like Santa was here. And they're like, wait, what's this? And then Ed is the one who realizes and says, everybody get in here. We got ratings.
Yeah, I just found this book over here. You would think they would tell them like, hey, we put the book over here. It's like, nah, we were cleaning up. I came across this thing. And so when they start to read the ratings, at that point, voting's open. You could literally just go and do whatever you want as far as the vote. It's so funny because like now the two people who are in charge, they get told by the little ticket that they have to choose who is in the bottom, right? So Renee, your team lost. You have to pick the bottom two for everybody to vote for. And they don't say Renee is exempt from being in the bottom mm-hmm. two, but she's definitely not going to put herself in the bottom two. It's yeah. so good.
Yeah, she could fall on her spatula if she would choose to, but you know,
she's too smart for that.
Like, yeah, too smart for that. Yeah,
she's a game player.
Yeah, so she's not going to do that. And they're all just like amazed of like, oh, she didn't have a problem with the panna cotta.
And so then the argument is, well, we had a problem with the panna cotta.
Yeah,
so, yeah, I didn't like the panna cotta. I know the restaurant, I guess, liked the panna cotta, but because I didn't like the panna cotta, should I be like, what I think matters more important than what the actual person who liked the food?
Yeah,
because remember, everybody didn't even eat the panna cotta. So that's the crazy part about this vote. Both teams have to vote, but only he knows how his panna cotta tastes. Like his team kind of knows. Liv knows. But the other entire team has never even tasted this food. And they still have to vote someone out.
Well, and then I think that goes back to like the first challenge. And it's like, okay, it's not like a what have you done for me lately vote. It's like a like accumulation vote.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So things get very interesting here because Renee has to pick two people to put up for nomination in front of the house. That basically one of these people is going to get voted out. It has to be two of the people from her team. Now, we all know, okay, Brian is going up. That's obvious. I was surprised that it isn't Sergey who goes up, who Renee seemed to have a personality issue. She ends up putting Christian up. Is it Christian or Kristen?
Kristen.
Kristen. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Kristen ends up going up on up for nomination. And I really wasn't exactly sure why it was. It was the degree of difficulty of what she tried to do, or she played it too safe.
Yeah, it was that she played it too safe and the dish wasn't mind blowing. Like it is perfectly fine to go simple as long as like that's the best version of that dish you've ever had. But when you're making a salad and it's like a mediocre salad, well, then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Renee picked Sergey because she respected his cooking ability. So that has not changed here. You know, she didn't really love him on her team, but she respected him as a cook. Kristen, it seemed like after that meal, she didn't respect her too much as a cook because from what we were kind of hearing, her and Kristen had a good rapport. So Kristen would have like been surprised that she was going up. But Renee had a difficult choice to make. I mean, not the Brian choice. That was very obvious that that's where she was going. But the Kristen thing was kind of interesting. I also like that. Like she has her moments where she's like kind of disappointed that she has to do this, right? Nobody wants to be in the position to throw somebody out the game. You also put a target on your back by doing that. But she was comforted by my girl Lana. They have a moment where they both talk about being black women in the kitchen, Renee being from Barbados. And they just got to talking about it. And, you know, she really made her feel better, which I think is another underrated part of her social game.
So to me, this seemed like a little bit of like if you were a big longtime Big Brother fan, like you've seen this many times before. The HOH has a target and then basically kind of puts up a pawn up against the person that they want to go home. Renee mm-hmm. clearly wants Brian to be the person to go home. And as we've seen a million times before, on Big Brother, specifically like a lot of first HOHs where the house is not going to abide by the will of the first HOH.
Pawns go home.
Pawns go home.
Yeah. And I loved it because we did get in this episode who was going home, right?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Kristen goes home.
I didn't want Kristen to go home, But I kind of love that she did, because she was not the intended target. And because there was so much social gaming. And like, tell me if I'm wrong, but Gina, who like went into confessional with her and was like, everyone I've heard from is like voting to save you.
Oh,
there's
God.
Nothing to worry about. You're my best friend. Like, I am campaigning for you. And then she doesn't even vote. Like, she doesn't even vote to save Gina or whatever it is. She votes to evict Gina. And then she has to like lie to Gina's face, even though Gina's gone. Gina come back.
Kristen.
Yeah. I mean, Haley, that was, I thought, the highlight of the entire show for me in these first two episodes, when Gina is in the they break out like this diary room where it's like, this is like, you would think, is this Big Brother UK? Is this Big Brother? You know, this this diary room that you do not see on a cooking show like this. And they have to go in and do their confessionals. And we see Gina like talking about like, I'm playing the middle. I'm lying. And then the door opens like, oh, it's Kristen. She's like, come in here, girl. Come in here. Come sit down.
Hey, baby girl.
Like, let's do a two person thing. She's like, I think you're safe. I think you're so good. Chappelle, this was chef's kiss. Mwah.
And it's horrible strategy. It's horrible. See, that's what makes it even better. It's such a bad move. Because in the first episode, we see that Gina's on the chopping block, and she's the first person who goes and makes an alliance, right? She go, like, her and Liv are like talking to each other. Okay, we got to get out Brian. We got to try something here. And so they try to work something out. Then in the second episode, she's like, I can pretty much whip the votes because I'm aligned with certain people. Brian isn't really aligned with anybody, but he goes and makes an alliance. So he starts to build his team. It's finally coming together.
Unlike
the panna cotta. But then, you know, Gina, you know this person's going home and you're lying to her face. It's not like she has an immunity idol, right? Where she can save herself. Her knowing that she's going home does nothing. Now, you be nice to her and maybe get her vote later on. But to completely just blatantly lie and then be one of the only two people who like the girl got two votes and you're like, it was me. I was one of them. Brian's still here next week. You're aligned with him. And now your lie is that you voted him out. Yeah. Tell me more about this, Gina. And then on top of all of that, Kristen doesn't even leave. They read the votes and she just sits there. And I was just like, get out of here. I voted you out. What are you doing? And they just keep talking about who voted for it. It was crazy.
Yeah, this was really the point where I was like, oh, okay, this show is going to be what it said it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
What a thrill.
Yeah. I was so blindsided that Kristen is going to be the person who goes home, because I guess I just felt like that. Okay, well, Kristen has gotten like a very like invisible edit here for two episodes. We've seen so much of Brian, and really Brian, I did not think had gotten like a great edit. Like, I think that Brian, he seemed to be like a little bit at times like rubbing people the wrong way, even in his strategizing. When he talked about in the first episode, he's like, you know, that me and my wife, that, you know, she's in the front of the restaurant and I'm in the back of the restaurant. And it was just, it seemed like, okay, well, he was in the bottom in the first episode. He's giving like early boot energy, but he stays.
It's about the alliances. I mean,
it was it was genuinely shocking to me.
Oh, no, I saw it coming because of the alliances.
You're in the Matrix. I mean,
well, because no, Gina goes and makes this alliance with Lana and Brian. And nobody in this kitchen has as much influence as Lana right now. She just won the challenge. Her whole team loves her. Renee even loves her. And no, Brian, this is like one of the two alliances in the game. It's Brian, Lana, and Gina. And then Gina was aligned with Liv. That's it. Liv is gone. So this three-person alliance can now go and go whip the votes however they want. I don't know why Gina starts lying to Kristen, but Kristen wasn't making any alliances. Nobody went to Kristen and said, okay, I got you this week. You get me next week. Brian actually was playing the game, which is very weird because it didn't seem like he was.
It didn't. Yeah. His alliance building was so like casual that it didn't even really feel like he was making an alliance.
It seemed like that Gina could have gone either way. And I think that she was wanting like Kristen to say to her like, hey, like, you know, I got your back. She didn't say it. And then Brian like says it like so like, yeah, like we could work together. She's like, that's it. That's what I've been waiting to hear. All right. I'm going to work for you. I'm going to save you, sir.
it's the Jonathan Pinner. You know, it's the like, I need you to get you. I need you to come with us. We're going to take you to the final three. He's like, I don't know. Do I really want to go with y'all? Like, come back to me later on. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, this person says, yep, come with me immediately. Come with this. Come with us. We got you. And he's like, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. That's all you need to hear. Like, Gina literally just wanted to hear the words. Like, will you work with me? Brian's like, we can do that. Yeah. I'll definitely have your back. Fine. Boom. Final three. Let's go.
And we see Gina go to work. She's working on Caroline. We see Caroline talking to Robbie. Brian pops in. And, you know, that's coming together. And then we're seeing everybody go and cast their votes. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Okay. We have a little bit of a mystery. And Haley, I know you've gotten past the second episode, but the show leaves it as a mystery through episode number two, right? Of who were the two votes to evict Brian. We know that Renee is one of them, but we don't know who the second vote was to evict Brian. Correct?
Yeah. And I was believing it. Mm-hmm. I was like, who was the second person? I believe both of the other people who were saying they were.
Chappelle, do you want to speculate of who the second vote to evict Brian was?
I felt like it was Gina. She had been doing all this lying. So I was like, well, why would she stop lying now? And of course, realizing that there's only two votes, she either stands out as, yeah, I was true to my word. I did vote for Kristen. And now I'm one of the odd people out. Or I lied and said I vote for Kristen. Now everybody thinks I'm the odd person out, even though I'm not. And so she's like, you know, that's Sergey. But Sergey doesn't come off like somebody who would lie about this kind of thing, right? The whole episode was Gina basically lying to Kristen's face. So I was led to believe that she was still lying to her. I don't know. Did y'all pick up on something else? Well, Haley watched the third episode. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I thought that Ed would be the other vote. Like, I thought that Ed, when he goes to vote, he said, like, I followed the rules of what the competition was. And so, like, I thought that meant to me that... I don't know, but I feel like that he was like, you know, he seemed like a loyal soldier to what Renee wanted to do. So, yeah, I feel like that this was such an interesting place because we don't get voting confessionals.
Mm-mm. And then Ed, well, we kind of do in a way because it's like
you for see some them people
vote, and they whisper little things that they're voting. Like you kind of hear their inner thoughts through the voiceover. But Ed, I think this was the episode where Ed's like, I already voted. I voted a long time ago. So all this like politicking y'all are doing, I knew immediately who I was going to vote for. What are you talking about? No, I think that was Liv. He got out like instantly that chicken. There was nothing she could do. But here, I think when he said, I'm voting along the rules of who you should vote for, I figured he thought I'm voting for whoever had the worst dish, right? And Brian didn't get any bad critiques. So I assumed he was talking about Kristen, who did get some negative critiques. Now, I could be wrong, of course, because we don't see like a big reveal or anything, but that's just what I was picking up on. I felt like, you know, maybe he voted for Brian, or I don't know. It's really hard to tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just don't think Sergey is the one who's lying. You know, like, why would he lie? Why? For what reason? He's kind of always wanted Gina out. You're right, Rob. We got to watch the rest of this.
I'm really very curious to see how it's going to go and like how they play with this format, because I feel like it's just such a fun idea to take a show based around the skill like cooking, but then also just to combine this social strategy element to it where, you know, it's, you're not just competing against the other people in terms of like making the dishes and there's so much sportsmanship, but it's basically like taking this pettiness that we love from these other shows and injecting it into this competition where there is teamwork involved, but also everybody's trying to showcase their talents.
Haley, you've watched a lot of competition reality shows.
Like so many. Like so, it's like not good. How many I've watched.
No. It's fine. This is perfect. Because I have a question. A lot of these talent shows on these reality TV shows or whatever, they always market themselves as the person who is the best will win, right? We're looking for the best model, the best chef, the best singer. And then it comes down to like, the audience calling in and voting. There's a panel of judges. Sometimes Tyra Banks just chooses the winner. RuPaul just chooses the winner based off of vibes. How do you feel about a show that's very blatantly saying like, this isn't about the best cook. This is about whoever can make it to the end.
I love it because it's so different. Like, we have not seen this from a cooking show before, and it's so exciting. Like, and I love that we might get to the end and the person who has been like touted as the best chef is not going to win. I love that it's possible that your social game is going to carry your way through a cooking show. Like, who would have ever expected? Because in like Top Chef, we have seen it where the biggest dick of the season wins and no one is happy about it because the person was such an a-hole during the entire thing. It's like not satisfying. Where in this, like, it could be somebody we love even though they're not the best chef technically.
Yeah, to me, I feel like that when we talk about it like in this way, like I feel like that this is like very close to what the original premise of Survivor was supposed to be. And, you know, it's where you're going to take these people and put them out in the wilderness living on the island. And OK, well, I think that people came in thinking like, oh, well, whoever's the best person, whoever's the best outdoors person will be the winner of the season, whoever's the best provider for the group. And sure, that is a skill set. That's part of it. But then you combine into, but people are also actually playing the game. And so the person who ultimately is going to win the season is not necessarily going to be the person who is the best at living in the outdoors. It's going to be the person who can marry, like, so, like they need to have some ability to live in the outdoors, but then also the person who's going to be able to play the game.
Yeah. And Rob, you're uniquely equipped to talk about that because as somebody who was able to do that on Survivor, you got very far. But what in this show, you get to like the final three and they realize, oh, it's been you all along. You got to go. Because if you make it to the end, people really like your food. People really like your personality. And you've kind of controlled everybody. You've gotten under everybody's skin a little bit too. We could get rid of you. And now it could be two people who you never expected to win this game in the final two.
Yeah. We don't know how this game is. I mean, Haley, I'm presuming that even though you are further ahead, you do not know how the ultimate winner will be decided, correct?
I have no idea. Like, is the whole series up at this point? Like, they're not doing like a circle drop?
Yes.
It's all up. And I do know how it's selected.
Oh,
I don't know if that's a spoiler.
If you are, I mean, you're not going to spoil anything. You're just going to tell us the rules of the show.
Because I don't know who won. It's the same. It's basically the same as Survivor. You go to a final three. I think the person who wins the final three challenge gets to pick who goes with them to the final two. They sit down, they have a big dinner, and then everybody votes. But here's the thing. It's not a secret vote. They vote, I think, sitting right in front of them at the damn dinner table.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like as they're like, I think they finish eating, they put their plates down. It's like, I think I'm gonna vote for this person. It's like, what?
So wine dinner either.
Yeah, Netflix. Yeah. Green light 10 more seasons of Pressure Cooker.
Please. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and like, oh wait, no, it's funny you said it about Survivor, about how it's just, you know, Survivor One really like made the rules of what Survivor is, and I feel like Pressure Cooker One is really making the rules of what the show is, but with the benefit of having 20 years. A social strategy television available to the people who are on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the strategy is so much further along in this show while still making up the rules of what actually the show is.
Are there any players that we haven't really highlighted that are part of this cast that we want to give some due while we're here?
I feel like we've barely touched on Caroline. Yes. I think she's like, she's an interesting character. I feel like every couple seasons of cooking show, we need like a model who's given up modeling and has turned to cooking. I think it's interesting. I don't want to spoil too much, but like her relationship with another contestant is interesting. And I think that's like one of the highlights of the next few episodes. So I think she's somebody who we haven't really touched on, but I think also the show has been doing a great job at highlighting everyone. Like, I know who all of these people are. I think Robbie, we didn't really talk about. He wasn't a big star of the last two episodes, but he is just like a really lovely guy who's like, I feel like with a lot of chefs, they're like stone cold. They refuse to show emotion, and that's not what Robbie is. And I really love him. I think he's a cool dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I called him the sweetest person, the sweetest chef in the kitchen. And I've only seen two episodes. But it was clear that everybody liked him. Mm-hmm. He never had really anything bad to say about anybody. But he also has some strategic chops. You know, he was talking about his meals. And he said, I did this one thing. You know, I think a crab cake the first round. But the second round, I'm going to switch it up because I want to show people that I'm versatile and stuff like that, where he could just play to his strengths all the time. And so I think those kind of things are noticed by other chefs. And if they like you, they'll keep picking you on their teams. And, you know, maybe they won't want to vote you out when they have the opportunity to do it. So I think that's really cool for Robbie. I know you said Kristen was kind of purple in her edit, but we've got a lot of information about Kristen, too. You know, we know she's from Southeast Asia or whatever. Her mom was, I think, immigrated to the United States or whatever. And so, like, we got pieces of their personality and their background in, like in a way that I guess earlier seasons of Survivor kind of did, you know, where they give you just enough to where you know that person before we get rid of them. And you know, we mentioned Liv, but she's like 7 foot tall. Like I at some point she stands up on the couch and I was literally like, what is happening?
I love that for her.
Yeah. I loved her speech, her campaign speech standing on the couch.
Is it, what is that lady's name on, on Brains, Beauties, and Blonde?
Jennifer Lanzetti.
Lanzetti, she stands up like, please, don't vote me out. And she got voted out.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is fun.
Haley, I, of course, defer to you on all of the culinary delights that we saw on this show. Was there one dish that you saw here early on that you would most like to have tried?
Ooh, I'm trying to think because, like, I honestly didn't focus much on the food because I was like, Rob hates talking about food. We're not going to go, like, dish by dish.
Yeah.
I do think Renee's scallop dish looked amazing. Mm-hmm. I am allergic to scallops, so I would not be able to Chappelle. Eat it.
Mm-hmm, same. Yeah.
Are you allergic to scallops? Wow.
I have a shellfish allergy, yeah.
I think Robbie made a lobster dish that, like, if it's a lobster dish, like I'm going to be drawn to it. Honestly, like put any of this in front of me and I'm in. Even the panna cotta, I'm like, this is messed
You'll
up,
try
but
it.
I'm still going to try it.
It does You'll taste good. It. We heard.
Chappelle, yeah. Was there anything that stood out to you early on?
Like I said, it all sounded good. Honestly, if Liv's food was cooked well, I would have liked it. The arroz con pollo, it looks so good. It's very Cuban. I mean, in Texas, I don't have a lot of Cuban options in my part of Texas. So I would have jumped at that because it really looked good. Also, somebody, I think it was it Gina in the second episode? She did a tartare or something like that. And I normally don't go for that, but it looked good. It looked really good. So I would have tried anything as long as it wasn't going to kill me. As long as it wasn't shellfish or salmonella, I think I would have tried it.
We went to this restaurant when we were in Paris for my birthday and we were sat beside this. I know I didn't, yes. I feel bad being like, well, I was in Paris for my birthday, but we sat in this restaurant and the table beside us was like people, like was a group of Americans and one person ordered like a steak tartare and the server was like, you do know it's raw, right? And the girl was like, yeah, no, absolutely. And she was like, so many people don't, and they get it and they are horrified. It's not my cup of beef, but you know, to each their own.
It looked good.
I think in the next episode it's hard with the Netflix because they all move together so well, it's hard to figure out where one stops and when begins. I think it's in the next episode there's like a pair team surf and turf challenge, and I would say all of those dishes looked incredible. And like those are like what I would love to try.
Okay, well,
I'm such a fat ass, I'm about to go eat like right after this. We've talked about food so much to where I'm about to go destroy a huge steak or something. I have to eat now. I'm so hungry.
we would often record the Top Chef podcast like in this time slot, like right before lunch, so it'd always be like I'm so hungry.
Yeah. Netflix plated a season of The Pressure Cooker and we ate.
We'll keep eating.
So I think it's definitely something to, if people like this, we should keep going. I'm dying to know how it turns out. Chappelle, is there anything else that's in the Netflix universe that we need to be paying attention to right now?
Oh man, I don't know, because I'm so invested in this show now that I wasn't even paying attention, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been doing a lot of TV watching lately on Netflix. You know, Survivor Token Teens is out. I don't know, Rob. We would have a very special guest if we were to do that one. Mm-hmm. Just saying, you might know somebody who was on the season or something like
that. Are a lot of people watching Survivor Token Teens on Netflix?
I think the people who watch Survivor are probably watching it, but I don't know if anybody else is. Or the people who are just getting into Survivor. You know, Netflix has been doing a slow rollout of these Survivor seasons and then taking them away. So maybe some people are actually.
But I think for the people that we know, that I feel like that Survivor is so accessible
We can watch it anytime.
I feel like it's like I would never feel compelled to like, well, it's on Netflix, I have to watch it now. So let me watch Survivor.
Well, look, we do have someone who's been watching a lot of TV with us today. Haley, with her new job, has the opportunity to have Netflix up all the time. Haley, know if there's anything we should be having our eye out for on Netflix to talk about here on Nothing But Netflix?
Let me take a look, because I feel like I've just been catching up on things everybody else watched like many months ago. Mm-hmm. Within the last like month or so, I watched a couple seasons of Too Hot to Handle. I've missed, et cetera, which I feel like that's what I listened to last time was Kirsten was on your premiere episode. Okay. That's what it was. I think maybe like Emily in Paris, like you guys could do.
Oh.
I don't know if you guys have
Chappelle's
had
been
to
dying
watch
to do
first.
It. Yeah.
Have you? You should just like watch the first episode of the third season without like any of the context from the first two and see what happens. I know I'm not the only one, but I feel like there's been a petition to get you guys to talk about Dairy Girls for a while. I think that's a great option.
Dairy Girls.
Yeah, Dairy Girls and Emily in Paris are probably our two most requested Netflix things that we keep ignoring because there's so many seasons and we're so far behind. So for me and Robert, you're kind of like, we would love to give that to you, but we would have to catch up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So those are probably my suggestions, because I just on Netflix, I just watch a lot of the like stuff I've already watched before, like RuPaul's Drag Race and stuff that being on there. And it's hard,
Survivor,
right? Because
Token Teens.
I don't think that's on my Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Because there's also like the difference between Canadian Netflix and American Netflix too. So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Rob, Matilda, was recreated. I guess there's a musical version of Matilda out. I saw the little kids dancing on Twitter. That's in the top 10 right now in movies.
Yeah. I don't know if that's my jam.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's definitely not mine. I'm just throwing it out there. Looking at the what's hot on right now in the U.S.
What's Ginny in Georgia? Are people watching that? It's the number one
TV show.
People
are talking about Ginny in Georgia. I've been seeing the tweets.
It's a scandalous, soapy teen.
Ooh, I don't know what it is, though. This is the second season of it, and I've never seen one episode of it, but I've been seeing people talking about it. Haley, have you ever Ginny'd in Georgia?
No. I haven't.
Yeah.
I don't do a lot of scripted.
Okay. Well, I feel like that, you know, the pressure cooker is definitely something that's intriguing right now to come back and finish it. So I think that's certainly the leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah, I think you guys should just follow your heart and just do that.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, let's finish it off. Come back to talk about the finale and stuff like that. And then if Haley is available, you come back as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
All right. Haley, what's coming up for you?
You know, I've been on a bit of a hiatus lately. Mm-hmm. You know, The Bachelor was kind enough to not start the first week of January like it usually does.
Yeah.
So it's starting in a couple of weeks on the 23rd. I did, however, hop on with Kirsten McInnes to talk about love. What is it? Too Hot to Handle a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
So if you really do want to hear my voice, you can listen to that. But yeah, I'm coming up with The Bachelor in a matter of weeks.
Okay.
That's about it.
All right. Well, Haley, this was so fun to go through everything here with you on The Pressure Cooker, and hope we can talk again very soon about everything that's going on. Chappelle, what's coming up for you?
You know, typical things going on. I'm still on post-show recaps talking about Abbott Elementary with Gia. And we just dropped our mid-season premiere. So that was fun. And so we'll still be covering that bi-weekly over on post-show recaps up until the finale of this season. So check that out. I think I will be joining Mari and Sarah Carradine over on Crime Scene to talk about hatchet wielding hitchhikers.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's and coming so, soon.
It's coming to Netflix, and I'm going to join them to talk about it. So that's going to be fun. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, Rob, but we have a game to play on Twitch in a couple of weeks, in a week or so. Something with Grace about the your Twitch gaming thing.
Yes,
I've agreed to
yes,
do it,
RHAP game night coming up. I believe that's going to be what, Tuesday the 17th. I think is when we're going to do that.
Yes. And everybody, if you don't know this about me, I don't really do games, you know, but
that's really surprising to me.
It's just not my thing. I'm so anti-competitive. And so I'm just like, ugh. But I've been telling Grace, if you find the right one, I'll come on. And she did. And so she said, well, you know, there's this game called Ticket to Ride. And I said, Grace, I'm down, but what is it? And she took like a day to respond. I was like, well, maybe she's never going to tell me and I'll just show up and be like completely terrified at what it is. So check out Ticket to Ride. We're going to play it on Twitch one day.
Okay. And we mentioned The Circle, Netflix reality. We did week two of The Circle on Friday. So be sure to, if you're following The Circle, like Haley is and Chappelle isn't, you can go ahead and check out what happened. It turned out to be, I'm not going to spoil anything, the week two ends up going in a very interesting direction. So I thought it was maybe came in a little sleepy. Gets pretty exciting by the end of the week two.
I would say this was a satisfying week of The Circle.
Satisfying week of The Circle. So, we'll have one more. And of course, we're kicking off our Traitors coverage coming up on Thursday, where the Traitors coming to Peacock. They're going to drop the entire season. And I'm going to attempt to do a binge podcast of the entire series. Puya Zambakili and I are going to attempt to cover 10 episodes of Traitors in 36 hours. And you can be there for it all live, kicking off on Thursday morning when we are going to be kicking off our coverage at 10 a.m. Eastern of Traitors US Season 1. Thank you so much for joining us here. And of course, thanks to Haley for being here with us this week. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.